We'll invite Brother Josh forward now to give us words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really nice to be with you all this morning around the table of our Lord, and a warm welcome to those that are joining us online as well. This morning, as we have time set aside to prepare our minds for the emblems together, I want to now, with this moment of self-reflection, to consider a very important theme that is woven throughout the scripture, and that is the importance of redeeming the time. God has given us many reminders in his word regarding the preparation of our hearts and our minds. The preparation of our hearts and our minds to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns, to be ready and to be alert, waiting patiently for him. And as we consider and reflect on our own lives about this theme, and as we look to Christ, what we will find is, or at least I did, is a void or a gap between how Christ used his time and how I use mine. And as we reflect, we might be thinking, well, this isn't going to be very encouraging, but what I want to do this morning is to focus on and to be stirred up by the fact that God has given each of us today. He has given us a new day and a new opportunity to redeem the time, to realign our lives with him, that we might even hear those precious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." One of the things that I like to do when I prepare an exhort is just to reflect on the things that are going on in my life and some of the things that have been weighing on me, some things that I've been thinking about. And what I hope to do is to consider things that are not only relevant to me, but that are also relevant to you. And so this morning, I want to speak about time, something that, of course, we are all familiar with and we are all touched by. And the Word of God, as I mentioned, has a lot to say about this, how we should use it, how we shouldn't. It talks about how we should use our time wisely. King Solomon reflects on time and how there is a time for everything in this life. The Word of God speaks about trusting in his timing, about the importance of using our time wisely. He tells us to stand still, to stop, and to see his salvation on display. We learn that as clay, being molded takes time, and gold being refined is a process. And Brother Nathan, a few weeks ago in Sunday school, was providing an intro lesson to his Sunday school theme for the day, which was Joshua 10, where we learned about the sun stopping in the sky. He was talking about the rotation of the earth rotating around the sun, which is how we calculate time today. And when I was born until about 18, 19, my late teens, I really felt that the world was spinning at a regular speed. But after that, for some reason, I feel like the earth has been spinning faster and faster. The days are going quicker and quicker. And busyness is really woven into the fabric of our society, isn't it? And our society actually promotes it. Shops and restaurants are open 7 days a week, and pretty much every other service is available to us. We make an order online, and pretty much the next day it's at our door. Transportation is also another example. We can fly or drive pretty much anywhere we'd like to, anywhere we'd like to go. And these things have all really given us back time, haven't they? It's given us back time that we can now use to fill with other things that we want or need to do. But we really have to be mindful of the parable of the unclean spirit in this example. When an unclean spirit leaves a person and wanders through the dry places looking for rest, it finds no rest, and it returns to that person who has since cleared out their house, put their house in order, who has since gotten back some time. The unclean spirit then invites seven more spirits to join in reoccupying that space, making them worse off than before. This really is what redeeming the time is, isn't it? It's eliminating the unnecessary things in our life that are wasting our time and filling it with the things that are eternal, that have eternal value. We need to stop being so busy and start getting busy for Christ. And I have a question that I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I've been reflecting on a bit, and maybe you can just consider it in your own minds. What's the very first thing that you say when somebody asks you, how was your week, or how's work going? Well, I always catch myself saying, yeah, it's been good, thank you, it's been busy, or work's been good, it's been busy. And it's interesting, I don't know what your response might be, but I do hear it often, and I often say that as well. Maybe I'm just so used to being busy that I've almost turned it into a positive thing. I don't know, maybe I like being busy. Maybe I like filling my time with things, with doing random things and not having to worry about the actual things that I need to get done, things that aren't giving me instant gratification. Things that are giving me instant gratification. Added noise in my life maybe helps me drown out other issues and anxious thoughts. The inspired word of God has this to say in Psalms. It says, unless the Lord has been my help, my soul would have almost been in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts that were within me, thy comforts delight my soul. We can often be overwhelmed by our environment around us with the many thoughts in our minds and the situations that are in our life. But the psalmist recognized that God is his support and that he can find comfort in his God. And so we reflect now, how much time have we spent with God and our Lord Jesus Christ in this past week? Right? Imagine if your phone, on your phone, you could see your weekly screen time. It said how much time you've spent with the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine instead of at the end of the year on your Spotify Wrapped, you could see how many hours you've listened to the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings and his words. How many hours would it say? Turn with me, if you will, to our reading in Revelation 3. Because here we have a warning to the ecclesia in the last days. One that is relevant to you and I and to our ecclesia. And it's the ecclesia in Sardis in chapter 3. An ecclesia that had a reputation of being alive, but they were actually dead. Revelation 3, starting at verse 1, says, to the angel of the ecclesia in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come to you like a thief. And you will not know what hour I have come to you. So are we too busy in our lives that we are spiritually asleep? There's a real sense of urgency in the writer here to wake up, to strengthen those things that remain. Strength doesn't come overnight. It's a process. It takes work and it takes time. We can think of the parable of the 10 virgins, can't we? With the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. The 5 foolish didn't have a chance to strengthen what remained because the groom had already returned. They might have had a reputation of being alive, of having faith, but we know that they didn't have enough oil in their lamps to meet the very person that they had been waiting for. And their groom ended up coming to them as a thief in the night. And what a warning for us as believers living in the last days leading up to Christ's return, to be awake, and not only to be awake, but to consider the events that are going on around us, to continue to fill our lamps with oil, and to be watchmen for our loved ones, for our brothers and sisters, and for those who have not yet come to a knowledge of Christ, to sound the alarm that his return is so soon. And our loving God, who created the heavens and the earth and who sustains us, he knows our frame. He knows that we, in our busy lives, need ways to slow down and to reset and to refocus on him. And I want to examine three examples that God has physically instilled in his creation to help us to slow down our busy lives. And the first example that I thought of was mortality. And as we age, our bodies naturally, they start to slow down. Recovery takes longer after injuries. Our bones become less dense and they shrink in size. Our muscles lose strength, endurance, and flexibility, which can impact balance and coordination. And our metabolism starts to slow down, which means our body burns fewer calories throughout the day. So all these things in our mortality cause us to slow down and to be more deliberate with the things that we are doing, to be cautious. The next example that I want to consider is sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy sleep, so I was excited to learn the importance of getting enough sleep each night. Our bodies actually need sleep, and we're forced to slow down at the end of each day. Going without sleep for more than 3 days is considered to be dangerous. No sleep can actually cause our bodies to shut down. And sleep is one of the most amazing metaphors that we have of death and resurrection today. During a normal night's sleep, we go through various cycles of sleep. And one of those cycles is called rapid eye movement or REM sleep. And I don't want to get too scientific here, but specifically with REM sleep, it's a literal state of being paralyzed. It's our bodies focusing us to literally stop and to reset. And here we have such a beautiful thing to think about as we wake up each morning after our night's rest. We arise from like a death-like sleep each day. And we can think of that verse that says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." And the third example that I want to consider are the seasons. We can think of winter, especially now as we are in this month. When winter comes, the days are shorter, the days are colder, our busy lives tend to slow down a little bit. Especially in Victoria when we get snow. Cold weather can cause us to cancel plans. Shorter days makes us less inclined to be outside later in the day. And certain industries such as farming comes to a halt. Production and harvesting slows down. So all of these things God has created in this world to help us to physically slow down, to reset, and to have these new opportunities to serve and to choose to serve him. God has also provided us ways to slow down in our lives so that our spiritual lives can be strengthened. And I want to briefly now consider three ways with you that God has given us spiritually that we can slow down. The first one that I thought of was the Sabbath. And I know that we don't practice the Sabbath today, but we do practice in part the principles of the Sabbath and what they represent, what it represents in our own life. Principles such as rest, self-reflection, spending time with family and friends, helping others, and our worship. Now the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew Shabbat. The word literally means to stop. The Sabbath is a day to stop working, to stop wanting, to stop worrying, to just stop. We know that the Sabbath is more than just a day. It's a way of being in this world. It's a spirit of restfulness that comes from abiding, from living each day to give God glory. Do we practice these principles of the Sabbath in our own life, of slowing down, of stopping the hurry and the self-focus? It's something that I continually need to be reminded of. And it's something that Sunday mornings such as these really help me to reset my mind on. The next example that I thought of is prayer. God has given us a means of communication with him through his son. How often in my life and in yours do we stop and take advantage of this opportunity to cast our cares upon him because he truly cares about our anxieties? We have this opportunity to block out the noise of the outside and to meditate on our God and the things that he has accomplished for us. I know that I don't take advantage of prayer enough in my own life. There is always more time that I can set aside to reflect on how God has answered my prayers as well. And some people keep a prayer journal, which I think is a great idea, because oftentimes God answers our prayers in ways that we would never imagine. And I came across a quote recently related to prayer, and I'm not sure its source, but it really resonated with me. It goes like this. I asked God for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me stronger. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for courage. God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. God answered my prayers. Do we have time to reflect on these things, to see God's hand working in our life? The last one I want to consider with you is memorial, our remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ each week. Each week we have a couple of hours dedicated to being away from our notifications, from planning work events or just planning in general for our upcoming week. And we can now focus on the things that are eternal with those of like precious faith. Each week we have been given a time to slow down and to reflect on all of these things that have been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come on a Sunday morning, we come from a week of play, of work, of cooking, cleaning, shopping, of school, of studying, answering messages and emails, supporting other people. We're going 100 kilometers an hour all week for 6 days. We're running the pedal to the floor. But then the brakes are applied and maybe we come here out of breath from the sprint that we've been engaged in all week. Our minds maybe just can't slow down because we've been so busy filling our time, making sure that we fit everything in. Are we present this morning? Are we able to be present this morning? To spend time on the things that really matter? Or are we too exhausted from our busy lives? God calls us to be still and to know that he is God, as we read in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, he says. Our remembrance of Christ, as we know, isn't just a 2-hour time slot each week. It's not just a once a week remembrance. It's a way of living. It's a way of bearing fruit from abiding. Not ambition, of walking alongside Christ each day and taking up our cross. Our Creator wants our hearts and our minds, and we cannot give him these things if we don't spend time with him. When Christ returns, the very worst thing that we could say to ourselves is, I wish I just had more time. And the writer of Psalm 90, verse 12, reflects on kind of this mindset. If you turn with me there to our last passage in Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and we'll start at verse 12. Psalm 90, reading from verse 12, says, "So teach us to number our days, that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days." What a beautiful reflection of redeeming the time this is. And so now looking a little bit closer at our Lord Jesus Christ, we often read about Jesus looking for a quiet place. His life was filled with service, and he never seemed to have time for himself. In Matthew 3, we read a really fascinating part about Jesus' life with his baptism. When Jesus goes to John to be baptized, he comes out of the water and he hears "This is my son, and with him I am well pleased." What amazing words to hear from your father. And right from this very moment, Jesus is sent out into the world. The very next line reads after this, it says, "Then Jesus was led out into the wilderness." He didn't have time to celebrate and to go back to the back of the hall for refreshments, to fellowship and to celebrate with family and friends. He went straight into the wilderness or the desert to be tempted, it reads. The very first thing Jesus did after his baptism was head straight to the desert. And desert here doesn't necessarily mean sand and heat. The Greek word is eremos, and it has a wide variety or a range of meanings. It can be translated desert, deserted place, desolate place, solitary place, or quiet place. And there are many other examples of Jesus in Jesus' life showing his relationship with this word eremos. But this is the first time he encounters it. And it's really interesting to see that this is where Jesus will go from to start his ministry and his mission. Why the desert? Why this lonely place? Why does our Savior go to such a place after this very large part of his life, after his baptism? Why doesn't he go to the top of a high mountain? Why doesn't he go through the raging sea? I've always wondered this, but what I've come to understand is that the desert isn't a place of weakness. It's actually a place of strength. Jesus was led into the wilderness because it was there and only there that he was able to overcome and to show us that we too can overcome the sin that so easily can beset us. And it was only after a month of prayer and of fasting in this quiet place that he would have the capacity to take on sin itself and to walk away untouched. What an amazing lesson, what an amazing lesson for us that we have this perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ to learn from and to follow. God has created many ways, many reminders for us, as we have looked at this morning, to redeem the time, to slow down and to realign our lives with his will. This morning, we have an opportunity to stand still and to see his salvation at work. May this remembrance today fuel each of us and inspire us to be strong and to be courageous as we continue to fight the good fight of faith. And in the words of Luke, in Luke 12, he says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like those who are waiting for their master when he comes home from the wedding feast, so that they might open the door for him at once when he comes knocking. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes."